I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Coming up at the Centennial Theatre in North Vancouver is the latest production from URP, formerly Uncle Randy Productions, Green Day's American Idiot. It starts in previews next Tuesday, the 5th of November, and runs through to the 10th of November. Richard Berg joins me now. He is the production's director, and I'll get him to tell us about the show as well. We'll discuss the music of Green Day, the themes from the seminal album, as well as the Broadway production that followed, and how they at URP are making it a little more relevant to today. Visit urp.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Plante on the Line program, Richard Berg. Mr. Berg, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So, as I was talking before we started, Green Day is not something that I regularly listen to on my iPod or the Spotify. I'm listening to Sinatra. I'm listening to other cast recordings of Broadway shows from way back, say. You've directed musical theater. You've directed opera. So I'm wondering, what was it about the album American Idiot, let alone now doing the show, that captivated you? Because this is something that, from my understanding, is even before the show came about, this is something that the album obviously interested you, right?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I'm a casual Green Day fan long before this album came out. But I think, like so many people, this album jumped out of just sort of the punk pop category into the mainstream pop category.
Yeah.
It, you know, was nominated for a Grammy for Best Album Overall, not just in its subgenre. And a lot of people were hit by it at a particular time in history and a particular time in their life. For me, I was in my mid-20s and listening to current music, and it really reached out and grabbed me. I remember playing it endlessly when it first came out.
Yeah. And the other thing, I mean, you mentioned that the time it came out, this is 2004, this is after 9/11, so there are obviously themes related to that era. But I mean, from my understanding, all of you at URP, have you updated the show? Is that...
Yeah, we haven't. I mean, it's the exact same music and lyrics that were in the Broadway production, and those are largely unchanged from the original album. However, we're treating it as a story that's happening today, so I feel like the angst that embodied the show when it was originally written, it was largely a lashback against what was happening in America during the Bush years post 9/11.
Yeah.
I feel like that angst in that generation is, you know, equal or much greater now in the current political climate, and feeling like they're losing their country and like we're losing our grip on the left and all those sort of things. I feel like those themes are as strong now as ever. So rather than make it a period piece, we're setting it as today.
Yeah, and even if it were, say, the way it's written for the way it was written, say, for the Broadway stage, it's awfully timely, isn't it? And that's the unfortunate thing, I guess, of it all.
It really is. I almost, you know, as a citizen of the world, I wish it was a period piece. I wish that we could say, remember how horrible it was back then, and
right,
how we all acted up and changed things, and sadly things changed for a little while and then slipped back. So it's definitely timely in that we're still fighting the good fight.
The other thing that I was thinking about as I was preparing for a chat is I'm thinking about that album, American Idiot, and then the show. I haven't seen the show, and I'm looking forward to going to the Centennial to see it. Is Jesus of Suburbia, that song in the album, which, you know, it's 15 years old now, yet it's something that people still listen to this day. I think it's akin to, when I first heard it, I compared it to, say, MacArthur's Park or American Pie, because it had that sort of, you know, first of all, it was a long song, right?
Yeah, it's a 9-minute
yeah,
long format song, the kind of song that you don't often get to play on the radio.
Yeah, and then I read somewhere else that Armstrong had it in mind to write something like Bohemian Rhapsody. And in a way, I guess it has turned into that song for that generation, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's really achieved that sort of long pop format in that it has, although it's a single song, it has four different movements in the same way that Bohemian Rhapsody does, or those sort of songs do. And that's what lent itself so well to the adaptation to the stage, because all of a sudden, instead of it just being a song with movements, it's four different scenes that are strung together in a very theatrical way.
Yeah. And so for people listening to us, when they go to the Centennial Theater shortly, it's a show, a theatrical production, but there are elements of, say, a concert, and then of course the show itself, isn't it? I mean, there's something theatrical about it altogether, right?
Oh, definitely. Like, it is, in all senses of the word, a Broadway musical. Like, there's characters that exist from beginning to end, and they have a story that they tell just the same way that any musical does. But at the same time, it's also a very true to the spirit of a rock concert presentation of the songs that Green Day fans will know and recognize. So it really has the ability, and I think the Broadway production certainly had this ability when it first came out, to take someone who's a Green Day fan and would never go into a Broadway theater and all of a sudden realize that they like that storytelling format. Yeah. At the same time, you can be someone that likes a good musical and not know any Green Day music and still be moved by a show that has a story to tell.
Yeah, I guess this speaks to the durability of that album and that music, doesn't it?
It's so true. I mean, you listen to the peak radio in town now, and they still play these songs along with all the current songs that they're playing because they've really withstood the test of time. They're as good now as when they came out, and I feel like they've outlasted subsequent Green Day albums because of some of their best writing.
Now, let's talk about this production, the lighting design in particular. I wrote down the fellow's name, but I've lost it in my notes now. But
yeah, Rob Sondergaard is our lighting designer. He's certainly a very qualified theatrical lighting designer in his own right and has done a number of theater productions, including a current North American tour of We Will Rock You. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things that makes him most valuable on this show is his experience outside of the theater realm. He's the lighting designer for things like the Grey Cup halftime show and the huge Bell Music Festival in Toronto and things like that. So it's really bringing that big rock spectacle sort of lighting to a theater production, which, you know, most shows in this town don't get to see. So although we're still using lighting to tell the story and it still helps focus, when we're doing just the big rock numbers, it's going to feel like a Green Day concert in terms of the lighting. It's not going to feel like a theater show.
Yeah, and I understand there are 18 performers for this production. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's 18 cast members, but there's also a six-piece band that's also on stage at the same time. So there'll be 24 performers on stage, but six of them are the musicians, and then the other 18 are the cast.
Yeah, it just sounds like a great spectacle, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to say that it's, you know, a subtle moving story. It's not that. It's going to be something that grabs you and for 90 minutes, you know, drags you along on this journey that just doesn't stop, and I feel like it's very exciting in that way, and we're using all the production tricks that we can to support that story.
Yeah, and so you've been involved with URP for a number, if not all, of their productions, is that correct?
Yeah, the company itself is a partnership between my mother and I, and now my wife, who's also a professional theater artist. She's a stage manager, so it's the three of us that own the company, so it's our baby, so to speak.
Yeah.
Since 1995.
And so what was the thinking in terms of selecting this show in particular? Because it's unlike, say, other productions that they've done, right?
It's not that far off the type of shows that we do. I think compared to other companies in this town, we're certainly the rock musical company. We've done Two Guys Superstar, we've done Tommy, we've done Rent. We do the show. We don't do the big orchestral shows typically. So certainly rock musicals are what we've cut our teeth on. And I think this is really, for me, the natural culmination of all those shows we've done, and that we've always talked about our shows being theater shows that have a touch of rock concert to them. And this one's really a rock concert that has a touch of theater to it. So it's really the culmination of a lot of years of doing rock musicals.
Yeah, and so the audience, and I would assume are people who are, say, fans of a particular group, and then go and, who, as you alluded to a moment ago, don't usually go to the theater, and so when they do leave because of the production of it all, did you find that they return, say, for subsequent shows?
Yeah, we definitely have, I would say, a good combination of loyal fans who have come to our shows because they know that the quality and the product that we put out is going to be what they expect. And then a second set of audience that will come because they're interested in the specific show that we're doing. And then, of course, a certain set of audience that come to support the people in the show. So it's a mix, but over the years, we've certainly developed a base of audience that we continue to try and grow.
I saw the documentary about the original Broadway production, say.
Yes.
When you set out to do a production like this, you've mentioned already that there are some tweaks as to the setting of the show today. Are there a lot of changes, say, to something that someone might have seen on Broadway?
The look and feel will definitely be different. I saw the original Broadway design when it was on tour. I saw it in Seattle and loved it. But we contractually we're not allowed to, and we didn't want to change any of the music or lyrics. Those are exactly as written. That's what you do when you license a show. But you're allowed to interpret it your own way. And unlike the original Broadway production, which really set it in a sort of a gritty, dirty sort of space, ours definitely feels more like a rock concert set where the band is very prominent in it and the lighting is very prominent in it. So it's a bit of a cleaner, flashier look that you might see in a musical today in a rock concert today as opposed to a rock concert in the early 2000s. But the characters in the story are the same thing that people that already love the musical will be expecting.
Yeah, and so you and your musical director, I mean, this is something that you've obviously thought about in terms of how to present this music that is so recognizable that everyone will know, and I guess make it fresh, if you will, right?
Yeah, the musicians that we've assembled for the show are second to none in this town. They're people that are commercial musicians and pop rock musicians who work in studios and with legitimate artists all over. They're not people that typically play musicals, and we really approached it that way by trying to put together a band that could make this music sound like Green Day sounds as opposed to making it sound like a musical orchestra, which I think is the best way to approach it. We want people to come and, be blown away by the songs the way they should sound.
Now, this production will play at the Centennial Theatre in North Vancouver. It's almost, I don't know, ironic is the right word. I think it's appropriate, isn't it, that it is playing in that sort of setting because it is, you can see Vancouver, but it's not Vancouver, and the context of the material, suburbia and all its angst. I mean, it's perfect, isn't it?
It is. We talked a lot about doing it at a downtown venue, and that's, certainly in some ways where this sort of show would naturally belong. At the same time, Centennial's been our home base for a long time, and that's what brought us to it, is that we're sort of resident there. But yes, what you just said is completely true, that we're putting on a show in the middle of suburbia that's really about all that getting out of that is about.
Yeah. Now, working with the performers, because I'm talking to you a couple weeks before the show starts, before the show opens, are you having a lot of discussions about the themes in the show and say, the current context in which you'll all be performing this?
Yeah, it's interesting. The cast are appropriately aged, the actors themselves, for the characters they're playing, being early 20s, up until a little older than that. We have some cast members in their 30s. And it's interesting because so many of them weren't alive or at least weren't old enough to remember 9/11 as a contemporary issue in their adulthood. But all of them are very much aware of what's happening now and very much, concerned about what their life's going to be 10 years from now as they start families and have to, start living adult lives and stuff like that. So I think it's very timely for them to, the fight that's being fought in the musical is the fight that literally their future depends on.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. The other thing that I urge people to do as they're listening to us is to get tickets because as with other productions and obviously other shows in the city, these things, the tickets go by rather quickly, don't they?
They do. We're a short run. We're only 7 performances over 1 week.
Right.
So your chances to see it are limited, so we hope that people will get them while they're available.
Yeah. Are you thinking about next year's production already?
We're not. We always hope that there'll be another production, but at this point, we're really focusing on making this the best production that we can do, and then typically, once the show ends, we spend the fall looking at what we could do the following year.
Yeah. Break a leg, as they say in your business, because, as a fan of this album and I mean, I can't wait to see this show. By the way, before I let you go, what's your favorite movement in Jesus of Suburbia?
What's my favorite movement? I really like the Dearly Beloved section of it. I love how it comes to a completely different feel, and after a huge thing, you see one person's inner thoughts.
That's a perfect answer. I mean, for me, I mean, I think you can tell a lot about someone when you ask them what part of that song they like. So I appreciate your time today, Richard. Thanks for this.
Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you there.
Visit urp.ca for tickets and information for the URP production of Green Day's American Idiot. It begins Tuesday, the 5th of November, and runs until the 10th at North Vancouver Centennial Theatre. Richard Berg joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.